Blog Talk Radio.
Hey.
Once again, I also give
heads up that starting April the 3rd, we're going to add another teaching we're going to have on Zoom. We're going to be teaching, studying eschatology. We need to see what the book of Revelation is saying. We need to say how Daniel, the book of Daniel, is connected to these end times. How many of you know that we're living in the end times, and we need to know, we need to have an answer for what we believe. Amen. So we need to go in and study. So before we get started, let us open up prayer this afternoon. Oh, Father God, we thank and praise you, Yahweh. You are Yahweh Adonai. You are Elohim. You are Jehovah's Nisi. You are Jehovah Shalom, our peace. You are Jehovah Raphael, the one that healeth. You are Jehovah Shepherd. You are a great Father, your word says that you are a man of war, and we thank you, Father, that you have called us for such a time as this. Your word says that you teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight, Father. We pray today, God, that what you give us today, we receive as you increase in the name of Jesus. Father God, help us to wax bold in these last and evil days, Father. Help us to stand against the naysayers and those, God, that will come against your very word. Father God, we thank you this afternoon that your angels are cast around us, Father. Thank you for power and authority according to Luke 10:19, Father. Even as we study the word, we come to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power that come against every witch, warlock, soothsayer, Lord God, that would come against teaching, every eavesdropping, scanning spirit. I block you and I stop you in the name of Jesus. I call down the heat from heaven to consume and burn up. Lord God, everyone, every evil spirit that would contend with this teaching in the mighty name of Jesus. And I bless you, God. There's no one like you. You deserve all the glory, honor, and praise, God. We just bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Your mercy and grace. Thank you for calling us and anointing us for such a time as this, God. We thank you this afternoon, Lord God. We thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh God, every witch and warlock that's looking in, God, I command a crystal ball dark right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, pursue our evil pursuers and slaves. In the name of Jesus, put our naysayers to shame right now, God. Those who are speaking against us, I command them to be muted in the name of Jesus. I command them to be muted. Every demonic word, every demonic curse, I send back to the sender and the one who, Lord God, mentoring him in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So as I said this afternoon, we're going to continue our teaching. We thank God. We are part two of this series that I'm doing, Children's Bread. So we stopped last time. We talked about certain things that we needed to know. We answered some questions in the first teaching. The questions that we answered were, are demons mentioned in the Old Testament? And absolutely, yes. We know that they're mentioned in the Old Testament according to scriptures. The Bible says that. Hallelujah. He said that the Israelites were worshiping demons. They were worshiping demons. They were worshiping new gods that their fathers didn't even know, according to scriptures. We see that also that the Old Testament saints knew that about demons. They recognized that demons were in the land and that they were evil spirits. But the church, for the most part, don't want to deal with evil spirits, don't want to talk about evil spirits. But we know that they are the earth. If we look around and see what's taking place today, surely there has to be something operating behind the scenes. And we know that Satan, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, is operating and influencing humanity on an astronomical level. As a matter of fact, it's sad to say that Satan is the minor kingdom, according to scripture, that they are influencing even people in the church. We have to understand that witches and warlocks, they go to church. Why? Because they already have the people that's in the world come into the church division to bring in demonic heresy and demons. So we have to understand that there's a real enemy at play. Next, we talked about Satan and demons versus saints in the Old Testament. We also spoke about where demons in the synagogue and on the streets. And the answer is yes, because we know that back in the day, God, back in the Old Testament, God's chosen people were Israelites. They were the Jewish people, and that they synagogue. And when you study the scriptures, because I'm not going to go back over everything, you will see that Jesus ministered deliverance in the synagogue, which would be our church today. Understand that. Why is it a church? Because in the Old Testament, the saints were gathered together in the synagogue to hear the word, to sing hymns. What do we do in churches today? We gather together on one accord. We come to sing songs and read the scripture. So it's the same thing. There's a different era. Glory to God. We talked about deliverance being a part of the atonement package that Jesus Christ won on the cross of Calvary. Yes, he won that for our deliverance. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we understood from the scripture that the Bible says that Satan was absolutely responsible for the fall of mankind. He tempted Adam and Eve. He deceived Eve. He had Israelites in bondage. They were in bondage to Egypt for 430 years. And the Bible says that God delivered them with a mighty deliverance. Glory to God. We see that he drowned Pharaoh and his army. So we're talking about deliverance. Deliverance also is mentioned in the Old Testament. We say the word deliverance found 594 times from Genesis to Revelation. The word deliverance is found 179 times in scripture. In the King James Version, it is found 41 times. Glory to God. We understand, in order for God to mention it so many times, it had to be very important to God. Glory to God. We understand that Satan does not want the ministry of deliverance taught in the church. Why? Because he wants to keep Christians in demonic bondage. He wants Christians to be under demonic deception. Satan wants Christians to be under demonic torment. We have to understand many of diseases that people have, sickness, infirmity, and diseases come from demons. That's why we have to believe the word. I'm not asking anyone to believe me, but I want you to understand that it's in the Holy Scriptures. All you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation. But because of man's tradition, and also that there are demons behind people teaching contrary to this, get revelation that we are in a spiritual warfare. Spirits that are operating behind the scenes that are influenced for to come up with doctrine that's contrary to Jesus' word, contrary to the gospel. Jesus taught deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Because many of us, before we came into salvation, we had a lot going on, a lot of things going on. And it wasn't for God's mercy. He knew, hallelujah, that we needed to be delivered from the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Yes, we've been already saved. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. But how many of you know, if you look around and see Christians, that they love him, but they're struggling. They're still in captivity in some form or another. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about that today. So I'm not going to say too much on this because I want to go in, how can Christians have been and hide that in a Christian? But I wanted to bring us up to where we were. When we last talked at Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken. Jesus is talking, but he's talking about all those who will come after him in his name. He has anointed each and every minister of the gospel to preach, deliver to the captives, and Jesus has done it. Glory to God. We have to believe the word. Also, I want you to understand that we talked about that demons have nine Christians. Because why? Because the kingdom of darkness. Anyone that is not part of Jesus' kingdom, part of Satan's kingdom. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just thank God for this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, as I said, it's a part of the human path. Satan has a right to anyone that is not saved. Get that. He has a right to be in their life. As a matter of fact, they belong to him. When Jesus saved us, he purchased us with his precious blood. That's why we belong to him. But outside of Christ, we belong to Satan. That's why that we have a right to a person to non-Christian. Understand that. So how can demons enter a Christian? A Christian, understand, can be overtaken with trials and tests. Many people, once they get saved, they still dibble and dabble in sin. Sin opens the door. We have to understand that sin opens the door. The Bible doesn't say how many sins it takes for the door to be open in a Christian. But we do know that doors, only way that demons have access to somebody is through an open door. Here we have an example of Cain in Genesis 4. He resented his brother. He became jealous of his brother. What did the Lord say to him? Let us go over to Genesis 4. I think we need to read that one more time to understand how did Satan get access to Cain. Genesis chapter 4. Please give me a dip. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's go. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, let's go to Genesis chapter 4. And let's start reading. Let's start at verse 6. And Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So here we stand that the Lord is saying that sin was lying at the door, and his desire was to sift Cain, to cause Cain to sin. And who is sin? With Satan. We're talking about Satan. And it says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, we're in verse 8, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, why is Abel thy brother? Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what happened? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So we see what caused Cain to sin was that he was jealous and envious. Can I tell you, men in church are jealous and envious, and it causes sin. It causes their life to be a shipwreck. We have to understand as believers, as children of God, God asks for you to know who can take it away is that you can forfeit it, as Cain forfeited his life because of sin, because of jealousy and envy, and comparing what he was doing, what his brothers were doing. That's just a side note. We have to be very careful that we don't compare ourselves to other people. So the first question is, can light and dark dwell together? That's a question. Many people say that a Christian can't have a demon because light and darkness cannot dwell together. So what they use for that argument is this common argument against me having demons. They say light cannot dwell in darkness. This, of course, is an assumption with no biblical basis. The verse often used to back up that theory is 2 Corinthians 6:14, and it says, and it speaks about married believers, but they use this scripture. What it is saying is light cannot dwell with darkness. That's not what it's saying. Actually, it's asking what communion, what partnership light can have with darkness. In other words, it is saying a non-believer is not going to have the spiritual mind as a person that does believe. How can they partner if they anything in common? In other words, that scripture is saying, what do you have in common with somebody in the world? Somebody's hanging in the world, going to clubs, partying, and you a Christian. What do you have in common with them? That's why it says that we're not to be unevenly yoked together with an unbeliever. Now, of course, if you marry to someone and you become a Christian and they're not saved, if that person wants to stay with you, then according to the scripture, it's okay. Y'all can dwell together. But if they want to leave, then you let them go. We understand that's not saying that a Christian cannot have a demon. As a matter of fact, based on our first part of the teaching, we have established, according to scripture, that a Christian can have a demon, and according to the gospel, but it shows that Jesus time and time again dealt with the Old Testament saints. Why were they called saints? Because they had faith in God, or they were Jew, Israelite, or they had converted to Judaism. Because we know that some did convert to Judaism, because according to the scriptures, when God the Exodus, he said it was a mixed multitude of people that came forth. So there are Gentiles, even in the Old Testament, that converted to Judaism. So they became a part of God's chosen people. Like Rachel, she became a part of God's chosen people. So we have to understand that Jesus dealt with this. I'm just trying to make you understand that as Christians, we've been taught so much in churches, so many traditions that are contrary to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand, when people minister, it's not about the demons. It's about the people being set free from bondage so they can walk in holiness and righteousness. Why? Because the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Understand that demons and evil spirits of oppression and depression and all types of addictions, these are spots and blemishes and the bride's gown. Glory to God. So Jesus knew what we go through in this world. We know that it's a real demon, because even Jesus. Glory to God. Another question is, can a Christian be in bondage to pornography? Well, we know there are many Christians, as a matter of fact, that are in bondage to lust, perversion, lying, particularly lying. But my Bible says that there's a place for liars in hell. So that lets me know that it's a specific place for people that lie. But there are lying Christians. I know Christians, that leaders that lie, and if it's okay, there is no such thing as a white lie. So yes, Christians are capable of committing sin and walking in darkness. Yes, they are. It's because they allow the enemy of their soul to convince them that it's okay, that God doesn't care. God hates sin. As a matter of fact, he said, wherever sin is going to judge sin, wherever it's. So if a sin is inside a Christian, make no mistake, God is going to judge that. So then they ask the question, how can demons be in the same place where the Holy Ghost is? Well, we have to understand that the demons and the Holy Ghost are not in the same place. We have to understand that we are tripart beings. We are composed of three parts, a body, a mind, a soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Clearly, we are, according to God, we are tripart beings. Now, the spirit of the man belongs to God. Their spirit is united with the Holy Ghost. But their bodies and mind and soul can be affected. Just like you can turn a light on in one room and the next room in the house can be dark, the same truth is in the spirit realm. Understand, tripart being, the very soul, the soul versus the spirit. The spirit of a man is where the Holy Ghost dwells, but the soul or mind of a man is where dirt can still remain long after he or she has accepted Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. We have to understand that after someone accepts Christ, they can still have darkness. Still, let us go over to Luke 11. Hallelujah, Jesus. First, I want to go. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Glory to God. And 2. Hallelujah, Jesus. Romans, let's go over there, because we want to understand clearly how can Christians have been. And it says, I beseech you. Jesus, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, this is the least you can do because of what I've done for you. Verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good an acceptable and perfect will of God. Glory to God. We need to be transformed. Understand the job of the Holy Spirit is to push all junk in so that we can be true holy vessels unto God. Hallelujah. We have to understand that we have to renew our mind every day with the word of God. We have to study the word. Nowhere in the Bible says read the Bible, to study to show yourself. Workman need not be in a shame, able to rightly to divide the word of truth. So we need to study. We need to see what the word says. We need to be obedient. We need to shun the very appearance of evil. This is all the warfare that a Christian have in order to be the true vessels that God has see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're talking about how can Christians be, you know, we have to believe the word. We don't believe what man say, but we have to believe what Jesus is saying. How many of you know that Jesus knew? Over to Luke 11, 22. Hallelujah, Jesus. Luke 11, 22. Is this it? Hallelujah. Listen what it says. Let's start at verse 11, 20. But, no, let's go a little bit. Let's start at verse 19. It says, or cast out devils. By whom do you sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, come out, the kingdom of God is coming to you. So anyone is casting out demons from any person, that means that the kingdom of God is cast coming to that person. That captive glory to God is being set free. I love to see people set free by the finger of God, because it's not the vessel. We are the vessel, the conduit, but it's the power of God that's operating through us. Let's keep reading. Verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his bones are at peace. But when a stronger than he shall come into him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor and divided his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. So in other words, Jesus said, the ministry of deliverance is against them. If he's not preaching what he's preaching, then he is against God. He said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. So in other words, if somebody preaching contrary to the word of God, they are scattering the very thing that Jesus came to gather. My God said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He said, I return my house. Understand that a person's body to a demon is real estate. They look into it and purchase real estate, your body at any cost. You said, I will return into my house once, and when he findeth it clean, mean empty, not filled with the Holy Ghost, that means that person empty. That's why people deal with the Holy Ghost, because those demons are cast out. They can't come back in because they feel. But it says, I return unto my house at which I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goes and takes to him seven other spirits, more wickeder than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Why? Because that person doesn't have the Holy Spirit. That's why when you have to guard the gate, you have to understand. So we established that people that are teaching against the ministry of deliverance and actuality are scattering what Jesus is gathering. What Jesus is trying to do in the life of a person, they're actually trying to keep that person in bondage. I'm not saying they're doing it on purpose, but they're instrument in the enemy's hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. We are told to be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the word of God. Our spirits are instantly renewed the moment we are but our soul can take time to be renewed. In other words, when people are new Christians, they come in, you can see time it takes for them to stop doing certain things. That's why if they fasted, they prayed, and they still struggling with that issue, we cannot overlook the fact that they have a demon operating in their life. Now, as I said before, understand if it's one demon, it's always more than one, at least two. Why? Because the copycat, and he tries kept whatever God has. And we know that God sent them out two by two. Hallelujah. So where demons do they work? Where do they do their work? Now understand, I do not believe demons after he accepts Jesus. But where demons do their work is in the soulish realm and the mind. That's why he said, renew your mind with the word of God, so that when the enemy can put a demonic sword in your mind, you know what the word says, so that you can counterattack the enemy. Glory to God. So how do you see demons affecting people in the Bible? Well, according to scriptures, we see that people were in their mind. We see that it was a lunatic boy. There was a man with legions. So the demons can affect a person's mind. They can affect a person. They can affect people to do wicked things, to break God's law. That we see that the demons can afflict people and trick people, as we see that the enemy deceived Eve. Demons can deceive people. We see a woman in the Bible who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and she couldn't stand up. Now, many people think that sickness and infirmity is the same thing. Sicknesses are like diseases, like diseases. It's also like depression. Those are diseases. Now, infirmity is something that comes to make you weak. So, like, people have cancer. Cancer makes a person weak. It's a flesh-eating demon. Understand that cancer is a flesh-eating demon. Okay, glory to God. Demons can try to get our spirits overwhelmed. And the Bible says that there was it's the assignment of the demons. They come to wear out things. They wear people out through temptations, through sin. A lot of times, people are constantly being bombarded in their mind to certain sin. For example, a person got saved and they no longer want to fornicate, but they have been living a lifestyle of fornication. We have to understand that those demons of fornication are going to keep coming back to that person until they deliver from the spirit of fornication. To God. We have to understand that's the assignment of the enemy. He comes through our mind, through the soul, and brings trouble to our physical body. Thank God. Jesus. Okay, let's talk about what demons do to people. Many people believe that the only extreme cases of mental problems are caused by demons. Doesn't have to be extreme cases. The enemy can bombard people with spirits of sadness, depression, suicide, and they may not tell anyone that they are suffering. You have to understand that the enemy's job is to keep people in isolation, to hide. Many times you can't be able even to tell if a person has a demon, because the demon, they go down into the soulish realm and they wait for an opportunity to overwhelm the person. Oh, glory to God. The Bible speaks of people who were perfectly insane, who Jesus cast demons out. For example, the deaf, dumb spirits, or even blindness. Understand that these are demons. Deaf, and use the examples of what Jesus did. In Luke chapter 13, verse 11, he said, if then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to death? The Holy Spirit, when you are ministering and delivers, he will give you, he will let you know what taking place in the people. Also, Mark chapter 9, verse 25, you can do this at time. Also, Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Glory to God. So what it means to be possessed with a demon? Well, we know that a Christian cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed and they can have indwelling demons. Understand that the spirit, where your spirit is, that's where the Holy Spirit is. Remember, we said that it's through the flesh, soulish women. We're going to get more into that and explain it in other teachings. But for now, we're going to talk about what's here. The word possessed in the New Testament Greek actually needs to be the power of a demon. To the power of a demon, or to have a demon. This is like being under the power or influence of alcohol. The more you drink, the more you come under the power. So in other words, the more demons a person have. Let me explain. And we get into this in later teaching. But understand, it's always the initial demon that holds the door open for other demons. The Bible calls him the strong man. A strong man is called a gatekeeper in a person's soul. That demon's job is to make sure that other demons can come in through whatever gate is open in person. So if a person have a secret sin, that's going to be a person. For example, if a man or woman has a spirit of lust and they are God, supposed to be God people, particularly leadership, but it could be anybody, and they secretly ministering and lusting after people, then understand that's the gate for more demons coming. Because eventually, if you eventually that spirit is going to continue bringing demons in till you are overcome and you commit the fornication of your adultery. So we have to understand how they work. They come in to gain territory within the person's soul. Eventually, if they gain enough territory, it will cause the person to backslide because of shame. That's why we have to minister to the people and get them to understand. Don't believe the lie. Just because somebody has in bondage in the area does not mean that they don't belong to Jesus. That is a lie that they say. Many say, oh, they're not saved because they commit sin. No. Sin, when you're sinning, you continue and you enjoy it. But if it's a person has the ability to bring them the word of truth according to Luke 4:18, that's our assignment. Speak deliverance to them. Cast out the devil so that they can be healed, mind, spirit, and soul. Glory to God. Okay, so the Bible makes it clear that there are different kinds of demons that causes problems in a person as they dwell. Some demons, as I said, cause blindness, deafness, madness, mental illness, bipolar, schizophrenia, ADHD. Can I tell you, these are all demons that have groupings. And as a minister, we need to learn what the different groupings are so that when ministering deliverance, we make sure that there's no demons. Because if minister and delivers a person and you leave any demon left, that demon becomes the gatekeeper to hold other demons. That's why it's so important that we understand what is a person's demon. For example, if you have a person with a spirit of blindness, you need to understand what other demons goes along with them. The spirit of cataract, the spirit of blindness, the spirit of it could be deafness, because that could be in that category, because blindness and deafness usually go together. We have to be able to understand the grouping. Glory to God. That's Matthew 12:22. It says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and deaf, and he healed him. So blind and saw. As you can see, that's a team. That's a grouping. Glory to God. If they're to the power of a spirit of infirmity, they will have some sort of physical infirmity. And we read in Luke 13:11. So let's keep going. I'm just giving you the highlights today because there's so much that we could talk about in this subject. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Second, demons can invade the soul and body of a believer in the right course, but not the spirit. We have to understand and get that. So when your soul, your spirit is where the Holy Ghost is. Now understand, the soul is where your thoughts, emotions, and thinking is done. That's why it's so important as believers that you renew your mind with the word of God. Understand that demons can cause fear, depression, lust, uncontrollable anger. Now, anger, let's talk about anger. It's a lot with anger. And under that group of anger, there is rage. There is murder. It's a lot of demons under the spirit of anger and soul and sickness and disease, unforgiveness. In anger, also unforgiveness. It's a lot of demons. Oh, glory to God. There's so much to this ministry. To answer the question in a nutshell, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you believe or non-believe. If you bring the enemy right to your soul or body, then you are up for a spiritual infection that can cause you to be in bondage. Now remember that the devil has a right to the non-believer. So them being delivered, first of all, if you try to cast demons out of non-believers, more than likely you're going to have a fight. It's just like if you pay your mortgage for your house and somebody come and tell you to get out, you're going to fight. Why? Because you have a right to be there. If a non-believer understand demons have a right. So when a person says that they casting demons out of a non-believer, more than likely they are not. That's just a lie. Why? Because the demons will make it seem like they're casting them out, but they know they have a right to be there. Understand that Satan is a legalist. He knows what he can and what he cannot do. Understand that demons in a person's life is like pigs in a parlor. They are not wanted. They're nasty. They come to infect the body. Understand when a person is defiled, they are unclean and therefore vulnerable to spiritual infection. Demons are spiritual infection. They are germs. This is why Jesus ministers so much about deliverance. He gave us so many examples. He told us from Genesis to Revelation, God has always been in the business to deliver his people out of whatever circumstances has and bondage. This is what he loves so much. And can I tell you, there are people with all types, even people that are practicing witches. Can I tell you, Jesus died for them and he wants them to be separate, delivered from witchcraft spirits. There are people that have been heavily into the cult and God has delivered them. Why? Because he came to set the captives free. Any person with any demons is a captive to that particular demon. Glory to God. And Second Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11, it tells us, it says, let me go back to Ephesians 4:27. It says, neither give place to the devil. Also in Second Corinthians chapter 2:7, tells us, lest Satan should get an advantage over us. We should not be ignorant of the devices. Even us, you know, the problem I see in the body of Christ is many believers believe, many leaders in the body of Christ believe they are above the laws that govern every believer. They believe for some magical reason that they couldn't ever possibly have a demon. But we said that the Bible says that we were born in sin and in iniquity. Also, we have to understand that we were also not always saved. And as a matter of fact, we are a generation. Generational curses is another thing. Generational curses are patterns that have been passed down one generation to another. For example, you can see a family where everyone has high blood pressure, or three or four people have high blood pressure. Understand that is a pattern, that's a curse, that's a demon. Then you see people where all the women are like Jezebel, very controlled and very boisterous, very bossy. Understand that's a curse, that's a generational curse, and that's a demon. You have men that are ass. Whatever the woman say, lolly, lolly, you know, it's out of order. These are demons that be passed down. And though they love God, they still are out of this realm because they need to be delivered. Glory to God. But leaders who believe that they cannot have a demon, that they don't be delivered, saying that what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is telling us, that they is outside, that nowhere do I see in the Bible it says because you are pastor, apostle, evangelist, or preacher or teacher, that you cannot have a demon. It does not say that. It does not say that. So we have to stop lying. And I believe that deliverance should start at the top and work its way down. As a matter of fact, when you study deliverance, you see that husbands and wives are supposed to minister to each other. Parents are supposed to minister deliverance to their children. Because just like in the Bible, it gives us an example that people can be filled with the Holy Spirit from her Elizabeth, when the baby saw Mary, the baby leaped within Elizabeth, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's because that they were God kind of people. But can demons be a person, a non-saved person can have demons, and then demons can pass to their children? Yes, it is. So I have ministered deliverance to babies at the nation. Understand how real this is. Jesus David, we should be ministering deliverance to our children. We should be breaking generational curses. It is our responsibility. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's, I'm just going on a side note. Let me get back to my notes. But I want us to understand today, as believers, as leaders, if you are saved, hallelujah, and Jesus brought you in, that you should be ministering deliverance to your family. Understand that we live in a fallen world, and there are so many temptations that's coming even to our children. Be not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Understand that Satan wants to get a child as early as possible. This is why you see so many children say that as young as I can remember, I was gay. That is a lie from the pit of the enemy. Understand that the enemy, if it wasn't a generational curse in the family, the enemy comes to them even before they can speak and begin to tell it. I feel like gay. I feel like this. I feel like this. The enemy has programmed our children. Right. Even ignorant of the wiles of the devil. My God. It's about the devil gaining a foothold in a person's life. My God. Jesus. Lord, help us. We pray today for all those children that believe that they are gay, that they have been washed by demons. Father God, we just going to take a moment to pray. Father God, pray for the divine intervention in that young man and young woman's life, Father God. We pray that you would send your leaders, Lord God, the church, your hospital, across their path, Father God, and that they will be saved and set free, Father God, and that their minds will be renewed by your word, Lord God, that they will not no longer come in agreement with demons, but they will come in agreement with your word, Father God. We pray it's hour for this generation, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that young man and woman today, God, that you are ministering through your Holy Spirit salvation, deliverance, and healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So let us keep going. Hallelujah. Yeah, no more cold song. Understand demons. Either person's life before they came to Christ or through past lifestyles, generational curses, bondage that previous came under or vows that they had made to the enemy. You know, a lot of people have been to occult practices, witchcraft. Many people practice generational witchcraft, not even knowing they've gotten saved and still operate in mixed. We have to talk about that too, how Christians are mixed in voodoo. Santa Maria with Christianity and calling it Christianity, it is against God. Understand, if the demon came into a person's life before they accepted Christ, then the demon is likely trespassing because he has no legal right. And unless the person still has a demon in their life. For example, many people that have lust spirits, they like to have lust spirits. Anytime a person doesn't want to be delivered from a spirit, that means that they're getting something from that particular spirit. Understanding. Demons need to be cast out. Matthew chapter 8, 16 and 17. And we can forget in your spare time. The way the demon gain access into a believer's life, like I said, is through open doors. There are certain things that can open doors and eventually bring someone to that person's soul. Unclean spirit. Glory to God. Let's keep going. Either way, open doors need to be shut and demons cast out. Just because the enemy may not have legal right doesn't mean that the demon is going to leave on their own. If we see the example of Jesus, Jesus rebuked demons and he cast them out. Rebuke means to put it back in its rightful place. The devil is under our feet. So when you rebuke the demon, you command him to go back to the place he belongs, which is under your feet. So Jesus rebuked demons and he cast them out. Another scripture, we have to understand that Jesus paid the price for our iniquities, according to Isaiah 53 and 5. Now understand, it doesn't mean when you rebuke the demon, it doesn't mean that the demon won't want to hang around. Actually, you're going to have to kick the demon out. But we know the demon is going to try to come back into Luke right here, 11:22 to 24, it says that once it's gone, it's going to come back, try to come back and say, I'm going to go back to my house. But it has to be, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be resilient. You have to maintain your deliverance. That's another key thing that the church is not teaching. We are not teaching people how to maintain deliverance once Jesus has brought that to their life. Once Jesus has set the captives free, we to teach them how to maintain. You have to give them specific directions according to the scripture on how to walk because the Bible clearly says that the enemy is going to come back and he's going to call seven other demons wickeder than him. So we believers as leaders have to teach that. Glory to God. Understand, if demons left automatically, when their rights were removed, then there would be no need to cast them out. Sometimes demons do leave, but the majority of the time, based off of scripture, what Jesus did, he had to cast them out. Glory to God. Cast out the demons. Hallelujah. Let's read Matthew chapters 8-17. It tells us how Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of him taking on our infirmities and iniquities. It was the actual casting out of demons. Let's go. Let's read. I want to read that scripture right there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. We have to thank God for his word. He gave us his word, so we don't have to depend on somebody's opinion. We don't have to depend on my opinion, what I think is say. Hallelujah. We could just go to the word of God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to read 16 and 17. And I am reading out of the KJV, King James. And it says, when he was come, they brought unto him, talking about Jesus, he that was possessed, mean demonized or had a demon in the Greek, with devils, and he cast out the spirit with words, and he all that were sick. That may be fulfilled with by Elijah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got to bless the Lord. You know, God sort of everything. He knew just what we need. Hallelujah, Jesus. And understand, the reason why it's so hard for people to believe is because the enemy, once again, does not want people to be set free. He wants people to be bondage to him so that he can go. And even the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. It doesn't say he accused those people in the world. It says he accused the brethren. We are the brethren. Hallelujah. So understand, many verses in the New Testament where it talks about being defiled. What does it mean to be defiled? It means to become unclean, to become polluted or dirty. To become unclean means that the object must first be clean in order, or it couldn't make it dirty. So in other words, demons and a Christian come to make that clean vessel dirty. Understand that. To be defiled means to take something that was clean and make it dirty. This is why Christian needs to heed the warning that Jesus gave, not to do those things which defile a man. It makes it clear, a clean Christian, it can take a clean Christian and make him unclean, therefore vulnerable to spiritual infection. Demons are spiritual infection that influence the mind, will, and intellect of a person. Understand. A lot of people like to believe that we cannot be touched by evil. But if that is certainly Christian sin, if the evil cannot touch a believer, which that is absolutely not true, because the Lord said, be not ignorant of the divine of the enemy, because we can be touched by evil. Sin is evil. Hallelujah. Untouched by the enemy. But if we have to stay behind. First of all, understand we have to stay behind the edge of protection. God has a hedge around what we believe. We can't go outside that hedge of protection. Understand it. We keep ourselves clean and stick in God's ways, we can be untouchable. Once this vessel is clean, we maintain the cleanness of our vessel. Understand that it is a job to shun the very appearance of evil. It is to walk in holiness and righteousness and all humility. Another thing that brings in the problem for many Christians is the spirit of pride, that they have it all together. I call that the Laodicean church. We have to understand that there are two churches in operation in these end times, the Philadelphia church and the Laodicea church. The Laodicea church believe they have it all together. They don't need nothing, that they live in their best life. In other words, and the Philadelphia church loves God, but it's a little immature in the things of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's keep going. Jesus said that when a demon leaves a person, it likes to come back with seven more. We went over there. Another thing to consider is that trying to cast out a demon when he has a legal right in a person can be broken. dangerous. As a matter of fact, the demons will manifest. Sometimes they choke people. They will cause violent manifestations on the person that's doing deliverance and on the person being delivered. Jesus Christ, so important that that's what ministry delivers information. But that's another time we go into that. Okay, let's keep going. If Jesus said, let's Mark 19 tell us. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 9. We need to read this. Let's start at verse 17. Now, it tells us of a story of the disciple trying to cast a demon out of a child. Why? They were unsuccessful. For the boy was brought to Jesus, and Jesus cast it out. But also told us that this kind of demon, in other words, a very strong demon, comes through prayer and fasting. So we also have to understand that certain demons only come out through fasting and praying. And so we have to have discernment from the Holy Spirit. Just because some person comes up to be delivered doesn't mean that you are to minister deliverance. Only if the Holy Spirit tells you to minister deliverance. Many leaders go out of any, just in everyone. You have to always stay under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Because you need also the discernment of what spirits that you're operating with. Mark 9:29, they said unto them, this kind can only come forth by nothing else but by prayer and fasting. And he said that prayer and fasting are required. Believe me, it's only through prayer and fasting that spirit is going to come out. We have to believe what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that it requires a lot of faith to cast these demons out. How much faith you get is through prayer and fasting. If his disciples didn't have enough faith to cast out, what about you? We have to have faith. I personally have cast out many demons that I couldn't even believe, to cast out many types of demons, particularly many demons I have encountered from the Marine Kingdom, particularly strong men in the Marine Kingdom, Marine spirits, mermaid spirits, and I see some demons that have been cast out, but you have to remember it's only those type of demons. You have to get the direction and the leading and guidance from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The book quote, understand that deliverance is part of the atonement and new covenant. It means it's for believers, but know that even though you have been given the ability, you must understand you must stay under the leading and guidance Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. We as believers are commissioned to do the same thing concerning demons. We are to Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. This is the commission that we have been given as we take the gospel. Can I tell you, deliverance is part of the good news. It's good news. Deliverance is glory to God. So for now, we speak today because we're going to continue on our next teaching. I want us to understand that there are some people who recognize the reality of the demonic realm. We have to be spiritual-minded. And the scripture says to be carnal-minded, that means world-minded, is death. But to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Understanding. There are some people who recognize the reality of the demonic realm and some who don't. The people that recognize the demonic realm, they see the need for casting out demons, but they don't believe that Christians can have demons. But there are Christians that do believe it. So, but I want you to understand this, that we as believers, we have to always side on the side of Jesus Christ. What Jesus is saying and doing. Jesus is the one who's called us and anointed us and given us the assignment. We have to put our tradition in pseudo-beliefs. Pseudo meaning fake beliefs. The Bible said that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing demons and doctrines of devils. I think that's 1 Timothy 4:1. So we have to understand that some people that is not going to believe you when you casting out. It's our job to convince them. Jesus sent us forth. And those who didn't give it to them, you don't, you shake the dust from your feet, understanding that Jesus said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us even to the end of age. He's with us always. Understand that this is a wicked generation we live in. And so we have to keep our minds on Jesus Christ and crucified and him resurrected and him living on. The Bible says the kingdom of God is with man. There's always more for than against us. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that Jesus is a man of war. God is fighting. God has given us that. And we know that we want to have great success. We may not get them all, but as many as God sent across your path, you make sure that you do what God has called you to do and understand that deliverance is not about demons. It's about people being set free from the powers of darkness so that they can be that bride without a spot or wrinkle that Jesus is coming back for when he comes to rapture us and so that we forever with him. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in, but he does the will of his Father. His will is that we minister the complete gospel to the masses. So into our next program, may God continuously bless you and enlarge you. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings to all.
Been so good to us, been so faithful to us. Ooh, I can sing a billion songs, dance till my feet are numb, spin till I'm empty and poor, can't praise you enough. Shout till my voice gives way, lead till I have no strength, do my breath try to explain. I can't praise you, love. And the time where to stop, I can never tell it all. Words are few, this will have to do. I just wanna thank you. I just wanna thank you. I just wanna thank you. Oh, I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
Sing a lot. I just wanna thank you. I just wanna thank you. I just want to thank you. I am so grateful.
Look what he's done.
You say till